Oh, we're so grateful, our Father, for revelation, for understanding that every ear today is a hearing ear. Every heart has revelation, the spirit of wisdom, revelation, knowledge of the eyes of understanding enlightened. That we have knowledge of your will and all wisdom, spiritual understanding, that we bear fruit in the kingdom, we bear fruit in our own life, and the fruit of the gospel springs up speedily within us. And we approach your throne with thanksgiving. We approach it with great joy and with patience, long-suffering, with joyfulness, because we're in the kingdom and we're children of the King, and all things have been provided. And we thank you, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We were in a restaurant last night, and a gentleman came up to us and he said, "Are you Becky Hudson?" I said, "Yes, sir." Now, how long has that been? 54 years. It's amazing. And he told me all who he was, and I went, wow. And Wayne said, "Who was that?" And I said, "I don't really know. I don't know who that was." Sometimes we approach the scripture, I'm not rattling, sometimes we approach the scripture that way. We say, and you couldn't repeat it, and you didn't internalize it. And we have to meditate in it until we internalize it. And so we've gone over Redeemed for several weeks because we want it to be a part of your heart. When somebody elbows you, you can define it. You know what it is. Even if you don't define it, you know exactly what it is. And it's the shed blood for payment of a price. And Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, "For as much as you know you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, the plan of salvation cannot be bought." And you say, "We don't try to buy it." Oh, yes, we do. Perfect attendance. Read my Bible every day. One fellow said, "Mama didn't get her healing, and she's the best Christian on the planet." He's basing healing on Mama's behavior. That won't work. It just won't work. Healing is based on the Word. It's based on redemption. It's based on the shed blood. So that you were redeemed, not with corruptible things of silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot and blemish. He's called the Lamb of God. John the Baptist called him the Lamb of God. When he saw him, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world." He came as a lamb to die. He came to be the lamb on the altar to replace all the sacrifices of the Old Testament that had been a stopgap, been in the meantime. This is what covers. It didn't remit sin. It covered. Jesus' plan of redemption is with the shed blood is going to remit or blot out or cancel sin. Old Testament animals, it says in Hebrews chapter 10, could not cancel sin. They just covered them up. It's like putting your hand in a glove. You still know your hand's in there. And it said there was in them a remembrance of sin every year. When the sacrifice on the Day of Atonement was made, there was a remembrance of what they had done and what they had said. And their hearts should have been full, and I wasn't there, so I don't know, should have been full of thanksgiving for the covering. Now, I am very cold-natured. Wayne is not. And we struggled for a long time until Wayne realized we had bought wool lap robes in Scotland and England, and I have one on my side of the bed. See, it's not anything that he needs, but it's what I need. And when you approach God by what you need, by what fills your heart, by what puts you over, by what controls your thoughts and gives you peace beyond understanding, because thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Perfect peace comes from your thoughts. And if your thoughts are not stayed, are not absorbed in God, then you're going to miss the peace that passes all understanding, which is your heritage. Now, we have a vast heritage, and it's revealed. Once you step into the kingdom, your sins are remitted. You're reconciled to God. That means you're in unity with God, and you have peace beyond understanding. And you are the righteousness of God. We've gone over those words, which is you're perfectly acceptable to God, fully acceptable to God. And you've been recreated so that you're a new creature, and you have His life, the life of the eternal one. Eternal life doesn't mean to live forever. Sinner lives forever, but he doesn't have eternal life. It means to have the life of the eternal one. So now you're ready to walk in righteousness, to walk in that word. Righteousness is right standing that propels us into right behavior. It's kind of a... Here's right standing. Turn that over, look on the other side. It says right behavior. And I can because I have His life. I have His nature. I'm equipped now by the Spirit to follow the Word and to meditate in the Word. Now, a gentleman called me and he's facing surgery and he's quite distressed. Well, the key to him is to quit thinking about the surgery and start thinking about the God who performs the surgery. The God who goes with you. The God who authorizes that medical prescription. The God that spoke to you or dealt with you in your heart once you talked about that prescription. Do you know doctors are human? You knew that, right? Do you know they make mistakes? That's why we pray, and that's why I say to God, okay, he's the great physician. I say, okay, you and I are going for my yearly physical. You and I. You go in first. I'm following you. I want to be sure that all that's said, it's all that's done, has heart approval. Has heart approval. I've done some things that didn't have heart approval, and the consequence of that are you do not want to do that. Now, in Luke chapter 1, it says, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, he hath visited and redeemed his people. That's in chapter 1, verse 68. That word visit means to go with a purpose, with a plan, to go to accomplish something, to go to help, to go to overcome something. I've told you my little grandmother weighed about 60 pounds the last 5 years. That's all she weighed. She probably was at her heaviest 90 to 100 pounds. She was very tiny. And there were things that she can't do at 60 pounds. And Mother would usually go, but when Mother couldn't go, she'd call me. Can you go help? And we went, we visited with a purpose. And that's what this word visit means. It means he came with a purpose. The purpose was to redeem, was to shed his blood so that his blood would remit, blot out all your sins, and would provide you a multitude of blessings. It's not that you just, you're saved, you believe in the death, you believe in the resurrection, you've confessed him as your Lord, and you get to go to heaven when you die. Now, that's the way I was raised. I was raised in church, been in church since church nurseries, and that's all I knew, going to heaven when I die. I didn't have a clue, not a clue, that there was any privileges. Now, I did learn right behavior, because my parents were very strong. You're equipped to overcome. You have a multitude of blessings. Your behavior is going to indicate that I'm blessed of the Lord. My checkbook indicates I'm Wayne's wife. It says Rebecca and Cecil Cumby. Is that amazing? I'm the fourth Rebecca in our family. I'm probably going to teach the name of Jesus shortly. We'll see. But you have to know who you are in Christ, what he's done for you. What has he done for you more than open up the door of heaven and say, when you die, you can come here? That's all I knew. I'm grateful for that. I'm not putting that down. But when we went through the 23rd Psalm, it opens the door to point out some of the things that happen today, that happen now, that are yours because you belong to God. They're yours now. They're yours today. Not tomorrow, today. And you put that word in your heart. You read it and you read it and you quote it and you say it. Said, the Lord is my shepherd. And it doesn't matter how you say that. You don't say, the Lord is my shepherd. Or the Lord is my shepherd. Every word is important. And that's Jehovah Raah, R-A-A-H. We gave you these last week. The Lord is my shepherd. A shepherd oversees. He takes care of the sheep. When you're a mother or a father, you take care of your children. We have canals on all sides, on two sides anyway, canals, and you can't get where you're going if you're going that way or that way. And when Ashley was little, Susanna's worked for us for over 20 years, and she's very valuable to us. And Ashley, before she started school, would be wanting to go in the yard. Well, we have to oversee that because she's small. She's also very outgoing, aggressive. Are those the right words? She's the kind that would, and she was, hang off the bridge and look at the water. So we're sitting there, we're overseeing, and I have an overseer, and he's called the shepherd. He's here watching, he's overseeing. We have his presence. It says, I will never leave you or forsake you, his presence. And we have, I shall not want. His abundant provision. He said, if you, a father, know how to give good things to your children, how much more shall I give good things to those that ask me? Do you notice the theology here? To those that what? Those that what? Ask. See, prominent theologian, if God wants to do it, he will. Maybe not. He told you to ask. I said, why do I have to ask? Because he said so. This is not rocket science. This is very easy. So he is the shepherd. He's watching over. He's taking care of the sheep, and he's providing with abundant provision, and he's giving you green pastures and still waters. And that's the God of peace, because when waters are still, sheep are very skittish animals. And if the waters are moving, they won't drink water. And so they, when they go to the top of the mountain in the spring, in the fall, they're in the valley near the barn, but they go to the top of the mountain in the spring. It's called the Tableland. And they send a crew up weeks ahead of time to dam up all the water bottle, the water rivers and springs, so there is a still water. See, and that's the stillness of the heart of man. That's my heart is still. Now, we were robbed twice decades ago, and we have a complete security system. You will not sneak up on me. And we have a new one because Wayne loves gadgets. On the last year, Christmas before last, we got this new one at the front door and the back door. We have some inside, outside, all that. But it makes funny noises. And during the night, I think, I'm always, Wayne sleeps soundly. I sleep sort of. And I thought, I think I heard something. And then I think, no alarms going off anywhere. All is quiet. I didn't hear anything. See, there's someone on the inside that says, it's okay. You didn't hear anything. There are seven redemptive names. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. That's Jehovah Tsidkenu, spelled with a T. T-S-I-D-K-E-N-U. The Lord our righteousness. That's the righteousness that precedes, that propels us into right behavior. Scripture says, awake to righteousness and sin not. When you understand who you are in God, it will cause you to reach down into the human spirit where you're a new creature with God's life and get your direction from the Spirit of the living God and be obedient to that. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Well, you can't say, you be a carpenter because I'm a carpenter. Why did he say, be holy, for I'm holy? I'm holy, so you be holy. Because we have his life. We have his nature. We have the shepherd. We have his constant presence by the Spirit. We have his total provision. And then it says, this is where I was headed. Verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me. Thou preparest a table before me. It's not your behavior that prepared the table. Jehovah means the self-existent one who reveals himself. Jehovah Nissi, N-I-S-S-I. And it means the victor, the captain, and the banner. And a banner is nothing more than a flag. A flag declares your loyalty. When you burn the American flag, you're saying, I'm not loyal to America. I won't support America. That's why it's offensive to we who support America. Jehovah Nissi, thou preparest a table before me. They prepared the table land because they're going to move the sheep. And they go up and they pick a spot because you can't get there overnight. They get there in several days, and they eat all the pasture here, and they move higher and higher and higher till they're on the top of the mountain called the Tableland. Well, you have to be careful where you pasture those sheep at night, because you pasture under rocks or cliff or behind trees. Creditors will sneak up on them. And so they pick out the spots that would be the safest spot, and the shepherd's watching all night. Now, I read the book on the shepherd, and he said he's a new shepherd, and he wasn't watching. It was winter time, and the sheep were in the pasture next to the barn, and he heard some noise, but then it was quiet, so he didn't even get up. And the next morning, he had a lot of dead sheep, because there had been a wolf chasing the sheep. And when one sheep runs, they all run. Those at the end, they don't even know why they're running. Has that ever happened to you? Why are you mad? Because Mabel's mad. You're supposed to make Mabel glad. You're not supposed to join her mad. You got that right part? Somebody asked me, who's Mabel? Do we know Mabel? I said, no, I made Mabel up. Does anybody have a Mabel? You do? We have one? I try to pick a name. I should use my own, maybe. Anyway, Jehovah Nissi, prepare a table for you in the presence of the enemy, because the enemy has been defeated. The enemy's not bothering you. He has no power or authority over you because you're following the captain. Now turn to Hebrews 2:10 and I'll show you where this is played out in the New Testament. The captain. The captain is the one in charge. He's the one who is the source. In the New Testament lingo, the word captain, he's the captain. He's also called the prince. Both are the same word, and he's called the author. Captain, prince, and author are all the same exact concept, the same exact word. Captain, it's the source. He's called the author of faith. He's the source of faith because he is the word. And to believe in the word, to believe in him, is to establish faith in your heart. He's called the prince of life, means he's the source of life. That's in Acts 3:15 and Acts 5:3. He's called the prince of life. We're talking about where life begins, where all these blessings begin. They began at the cross. They began in the shed blood of Jesus. They began in the redemptive plan that you have his presence, Jehovah Shammah. You have peace, Jehovah Shalom. You have his provision. Now, during the night, the Lord gave it to me this way. Rather than giving seven redemptive names, we have these four. Through the blood, you prosper, you have peace, you have his presence, and you walk in his power. And Jehovah Nissi, and the one below it, is his power. Now, you know, because this is hurricane country, when hurricane turned your electricity off, has that ever happened to you? So my sister called, and she said, I have electricity. I have electricity. I said, I'll be right over. Our property was damaged mightily. Not the house, but the trees. We have property with trees everywhere. You couldn't get down the drive. So Wayne's going to... See, you have to clear out the debris of your heart. You can put things in your heart that are going to do damage. What if? What if? What if? What if I die? I said, so what? Aren't you going to heaven? Don't you believe in the healer? Yes. Are you going to heaven today? Well, no. Get a grip. Right? Did I say that nicely enough? Prepare a table for me. The captain. The captain is the source. He's the one that calls the shots. He's the one that redeemed you. He's the one that was the author of salvation and the author of faith and the prince of life. He's the beginning. And you have his victory that he didn't need. He did it for you. Now, 1 John says this is the victory that overcomes the world. Let me give you that. It's 1 John 5:7, maybe. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Victory. Because you have a captain, you have victory. Right? Because Satan's been defeated. When he went to the cross, it says how God laid our sin on him. He who knew no sin became sin for us, 2 Corinthians 5:21. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God. As righteousness, we're in union with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're totally reconciled and at peace in our heart. And we have at our disposal the captain. Right? The author. The prince of life. Now, is he working or is he watching? You know, I gave you my whole Santa Claus speech last week. Does anybody miss the Santa Claus speech?
Working.
Well, he's not doing anything. He's making a list. He's writing things down. I saw that. He's not helping you. He's not a captain. Now, there was a Saint Nicholas from which that myth is birthed. You can look that up and read it. It's quite interesting. He was a very generous man that gave gifts to the children and the families in his little village. And he did so much of that that the myth is supposedly birthed by this gentleman. whose name was Nicholas. But God is not just watching, He's working. You know, He's kind of like your mother. You remember your mother? Does everybody know what that meant? Anybody forgotten what that meant? my daddy's business bellied up, and my mother went back to work. And I was going into the 7th or 8th grade, and so I'm in charge of the household. And I'm not really totally qualified to be in charge, but I'm the oldest. And Mother ran the switchboard, you know, one of those kind that, like on Andy Griffith? You know, those kind? She was very good at that. She had a keen mind for numbers. And she'd call me in the afternoon, and she'd say, okay, now get the carrots. That's carrots I remember distinctly, because that is a big deal. Out of the freezer, out of the refrigerator. And get the potato peeler. And you know you have to peel those carrots? Such a big deal. And then she'd call me back. And if she hung up, that means she had a call coming in. She'd call me back later. You know, she's good at hanging up on you because she's working, actually. And I learned to cook over the telephone. That's how I learned to cook. Just by following Mother's instructions. Well, listen, I have a whole book of instructions here. And a captain and an author of the instructions who placed his spirit on the inside so I could get the instructions clear and I could follow. I will follow Jesus anywhere, everywhere. I will follow. Listen, if you don't follow, you don't read, you don't know, you lose. You got that part right? The captain. Now you have a captain of a boat, big boat, cruiser, a lot of people on it, and you have a captain. But he has people under him because he can't do everything. But he has given the orders. Daddy was in World War II in the Philippines, and he was aboard a troop transport. And at night they had to keep all the lights out. They had to sail in the dark. So they're sailing by the instruments. Well, sometimes... It's kind of dark in my life. I mean, I just think I'm just kind of confused here or something. But I have to sail by the Spirit and the Word and follow the captain. And there's victory. There's victory if I follow. There's victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me. He sought you, He bought you, He paid. And He said, now I'll be always present with you. I'll meet all your need. I'll provide. I'll see that you have peace beyond understanding. I'll prosper you. And I'll give you access at all times to my power. Now, Daddy said, he only talked about it once or twice. He didn't like to talk about World War II. That was a taboo subject. But there's somebody at the top of the boat that's steering and somebody in the bottom of the boat that's steering, because when you go through the Panama Canal, it was not made for the big ships. It was made pre-big ship. And you had just inches on the side. And so it was real, real close. And the guy at the bottom, that would be you, is talking to the guy at the top. That would be God. So that you can navigate the narrowness in your life and have victory. So you can navigate. You know, I don't know if God responds to threats, but every now and then I just tell the truth. And I said, I'm not a TV watcher per se. I watch a little House and Garden. I like old homes. And I said, I really need wisdom. And you said, if I lack wisdom, you'd give liberally, give liberally. And I said, I can't overcome without your wisdom. If you don't speak to me pretty soon, I'm going to watch TV. Do you know that won't work? I already tried that. Don't try that. That won't work. Now look, he's the captain. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Overcomes. When you overcome something, you have an obstacle. You have something in your path, whether it's sickness and disease, financial loss, relationship, family or neighbors, relationship difficulties, whatever it is. I look to the captain. I look to him that's on the inside and say, and I don't say, what do I do? Ditch that. What do we do? What can we do? You and I together. I was valedictorian in my high school class, but I didn't have many friends. We were religious, and religious people don't tend to accumulate friends in high school. I don't know if you remember that, but that was a day when pants were not worn. You know, girls wore dresses. Well, I had one friend. She lived a block over, and every now and then I'd go over there. And if I stayed after dark, I've got to go from her house to my house, through these other houses and through their backyard. And I'm afraid. Do you know how dark it is in the dark? When you're small. I'd step out past her carport light and I'd hit the street running. I'm going across the street through 2 yards and into my backyard, and I'm going, tchung! You've never seen anybody move so fast and be so afraid, because I wasn't aware that the Lord was with me. I thought it depended upon me. And I kept thinking, I know it was the devil. I hope you don't run into that lady's clothesline. You remember clotheslines? We rented Daddy's house after Daddy died. We were remodeling, and we rented it for a while before we sold it. And the girl called, and she said, the dryer doesn't work. I said, well, just hang them on the line. And she said, what? I said, you see those poles in Granddaddy's? She was a niece. Granddaddy's backyard. Those are clothesline poles. Do you see that wire that goes from poles to poles? And over the washer, you see that bag with all those clothespins? And she said, oh, no, I would never hang my stuff outside in the breeze like that. I said, okay, my second suggestion. Do you have a dollar? Go down to where they have washers and dryers. She was horrified. I think she thought Wayne would jump right in the car and go over with a new dryer. That's what we look at God sometimes. You're not here yet. God, I just talked to you 5 minutes ago. Where are you? So everybody wants a now answer. And the scripture is very clear. Faith and patience inherits the promise. Say you didn't. You're an heir to the promise. We didn't get Daddy's house till Daddy died, till he went to heaven, till he and Mama were in heaven. Then we got the house. Then it needed some work because nobody had worked on it over the years. I think that was the reason. And so Wayne is going to. So we have this time zone here, of working, and remodeling, and we're thorough. We put so much money in the house we didn't get anything out of it. Daddy's house now would go on the market for about $290,000. Do you know what it was on the market for when we sold it? $64,000. Do you know that's what's happened to your economy? Do you know? Are you ready? I'm not rattling. I'm baiting you. When I get in the Word, my heart has more and more and more of His Word, more and more of His power. He's the captain. And I overcome. Now look at Romans 8:31. It says, you overcome, you have victory. That's God's plan. That's God's will. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His. You know that song?
Yes.
Three of us? Thank goodness Miss Melinda's still here to help me sing. Chapter 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, we're talking about being separated from the captain. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. As is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. That's why you need a captain. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. All these things we are. What?
More.
Now, the little kid recently was in the news. I don't know if it's a river or a lake, but he fell through the ice. He was small, and he thought he was safe, I guess. And there was a gentleman on the bank who didn't swim at all, but he was elderly man, and he very carefully negotiated the ice to get to this little boy and couldn't get him out, but he's holding him up. And there was another gentleman that spotted the dilemma, and he came and held hands with this man, and eventually there was a police lady that came, and she pulled, and the three of them pulled this little kid out of the water. Well, he was a conqueror, more than a conqueror. You know why he's more than a conqueror? He was not a part of the rescue. He didn't do anything. He wasn't even staying afloat till the old man got there and kept him above water. And he conquered, and he was more than a conqueror when you had the victory, but you didn't fight the battle. And you didn't fight with sin. Jesus fought. Jesus is the one that defeated Satan, having spoiled principalities and powers. He made a show of them. Principalities and powers of Satan and his team. And to spoil something, well, if it's in your refrigerator and it's spoiled, you throw it out, right? Throw it right out. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly. In other words, the whole world knew Satan has lost. Amen. And when I face a dilemma, now here's the dilemmas. Are you ready? You're fine, right? Tribulation. That means to be under pressure, to be in anguish. Tribulation, to be under pressure, to be in anguish. Distress. Now this is the most interesting word. It means to be in a very narrow room. Do you get that? I'm going to show you what happens. Keep your finger there and look at Psalms 118, I think it is. That word distress means to be in a narrow room. Have you ever been to Rock City? Have you been through Fat Man's Squeeze? Well, Daddy went to college 1 year not far from there, and we would go there. And it's a very narrow place between two mountains, and you literally have to turn sideways to get through. It's called Fat Man's Squeeze. It's very narrow. And when it says distress is a very narrow place, it means you're going to have to turn sideways, hold your breath, and squeeze. But the person you squeeze to is the captain. Back to the captain. Now, 118, I think. Let me put on my wonderful, wonderful reading glasses. Hallelujah. Verse 5, it says, I called upon the Lord in distress. What does distress mean? It means to be in a very narrow place. You know what we'd say today? To be in a jam. The Lord answered me and set me in the large place. Do you see that? When God answers? Well, let's look at another one. Psalms 31. The Lord answered me, set me in a large place, got you out of that jam. He's the captain. You remember we used to sing, there's a flag flown high in the castle of my heart, in the castle of my heart. Anybody remember that? There's a flag flown high in the castle of my heart. And this banner is the castle. It's the flag that's flown. It shows my loyalty. It shows I'm looking at the captain. I'm looking at the one who brings me victory. I'm looking at the one who relieves my distress. I'm looking at the one who sees me in a jam. And he's putting me in a large place. Verse 8. Has not, N-O-T, not. What does that mean? Shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. That's Old Testament. For victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Now we have it's a 1928 or 1929 grand piano. And our house is not big enough for a grand piano. But I wanted it. You got that? And Wayne gave it to me as a Christmas, it was a birthday gift, wasn't it? Christmas, birthday, one of those things. And so we've rearranged our furniture two or three times before we actually found a place because it made my house really narrow. It's like, it needs to be set in a large room. God said, I can't whistle. He whistles. I'm sure God whistles. And he says, that way, over there. Go through that gate. That's the way. See, the large room is your deliverance. It's your freedom. Are you getting that? Now look back at Romans 8. You're looking at me like I'm writing it, but I'm not. Persecution is to be followed after and harassed. Somebody always on your case, that's what we'd say. Famine is a lack. Nakedness is great lack. Peril is danger. And sword is a declared enemy. It's someone has already said, I hate you. It's a declared enemy. It's not someone you think doesn't, I don't think she really likes me. It's not that kind of enemy. It's someone you know they don't like you, they said so. But what are you going to do? You're going to declare victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. You're more than a conqueror. It means Jesus defeated. When Jesus went to the cross, it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. He's turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's Isaiah 53:6. He took our sin, and he went to the cross. He went to pay for sin, to defeat sin, and to defeat Satan, who caused Eve and Adam to sin, although Eve chose sin. Eve was deceived, and Adam chose sin. We know that from the Scripture. But he went to defeat Satan. Now, Adam and Eve had been given authority over the garden. They were the overseers of the garden. It's very clear from the language of Genesis chapter 1. But now the authority goes to Satan. So the reason the Old Testament reads like it does is because Satan is in charge. Amen. Amen. But the captain's coming. And he's coming to bring you victory. He's coming to place his life and his nature in you. You know, it's one thing to know you have victory, another thing, know what to do. How do you walk in it? I'm going to tell you that next week. Did I tell you you shouldn't miss next week? And then, nay, in all these things, verse 7. In all of these, doesn't matter if somebody's on your case, if you have a declared enemy, if you have great lack, if you're under such distress, you're in a very tight spot. That's what we'd say. Boy, I was in such a tight spot. And he said, no, I conquered for you. You're not trying to win. You're stepping into the victory that's been purchased. It's been purchased. It's there for you. You're just stepping into that victory. I'm going to tell you how to do that next week. Did I mention that? Now let's look at 2 Corinthians. I want to show you one more. There are three things mentioned. Four, actually. Overcome, victory, conquer. And the word here is triumph. It's in chapter 2. Verse 12. This is the writing of Paul. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, a door was opened unto me of the Lord. I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus my brother. Okay, the door was open for him to preach the gospel, but his spirit kept saying, where's Titus? He said, I couldn't find Titus. Where's Titus? So he said, I went from thence to Macedonia. Then he says, verse 14, thanks be unto God, chapter 2, 2 Corinthians, which always, do you see always? You know what the word always means? Are you ready for this? I'm going to give it to you now. Hallelujah. Always. It means two things. It means every when. That's what it means in the language, the original language. Every when. When do you have victory? When do you have victory? When? 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 So if I'm struggling, uptight, strung out, under pressure, declared enemies, have great lack, sick, I brought the translation I like to read that to you. And it says, who then shall ever separate us from the love of Christ? Shall problems, hardships, disease, hunger, persecution, homelessness, nakedness, imprisonment, financial ruin, terrorists, war? In all things, no matter what we face, we're more than conquerors through trust in him who loved us. Through trust. I said, I don't feel, but I feel terrible. You don't look too good either. I don't know if that makes a dab of difference. Because it doesn't say, Jehovah Rapha is the Lord our healer. It's the second explosion of the power of God. Now, let me tell you, look over at 2 Corinthians 7. He can't find Titus. He's concerned. It's his spirit. It's not, his mind, it's his spirit that alerts him, that is restless in the spirit on the inside. I wonder where Titus is. Well, we found Titus. I think we did. Chapter 7, verse 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 7. God that comforts these that are cast down, comforts us by the coming of Titus. And when he said, he was being specific, when he said we always triumph, for him, triumph was in finding Titus. Now, for you, triumph may be financial, freedom from disease. God is not a healer, he's a health giver. Did you know that? He heals you, but he heals you to bring you perfect health so that this affliction shall not arise a second time. Nahum 1:9, I think. Shall not arise a second time. So you're going to triumph. You're going to have victory. And that victory includes the healing of your body. If you have victory and you have plenty of money, but you're sick as a dog all the time, you ain't got victory. If you have perfect health but you don't have any money, you still hadn't got victory. You've got to have a full supply. If it's a declared enemy, you've got to step out in the love of God and know that the love of God is going to breach that gap. If you're being harassed or tormented, I'll tell you next week what you do. You're going to say, "Oh, Father in heaven, you got this, right?" Victory, triumph, conquer, captain. Victory, triumph, conquer, captain. When they went through the Panama Canal, Daddy, who was in sometimes at the top, sometimes in the back, in the bottom. In the bottom, they can't see anything. He's in the bottom of his ship. They picked up soldiers after World War, after the victory in Europe. They picked up soldiers there and carried them to the Philippines. And they had 5,000 soldiers on board at that point. That's how big a ship it was. But the guy at the bottom, if he doesn't communicate with the guy at the wheel at the top, they're going to hit the side of that canal. You've got to communicate with God. He sees. Sometimes I'm at the bottom, I see anything. Is that enough? Thank you, Father, we're more than conquerors. You fought the battle, but we get the victory. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. The victory is ours over every enemy, including sickness and disease. You are Jehovah Rapha. Thank you, the God who heals. And we are healed because you paid the price. And we thank you. When our body says it's not working, our heart says it certainly is. We walk with you. Thank you that you're the captain. You're the victor. Your banner, your flag flies over our heart. And we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.